Luke 9 and 23, and he said unto them all, every one of them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I want to teach this morning, basically out of this little book right here. I want to call this lesson troubleshooting. 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 Lord, I come before you this morning. There's not a one of us that's not had trouble in life. Some are going through troubles right now, but I'm here to tell those that are in trouble, trouble won't always last. It will end. Lord, you get us ready for the next trouble, for your Bible says that a man's days are few and full of trouble. But Lord, you know how to deliver the righteous out of all of their troubles. That's why I depend on you today. Guide us through this lesson in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I brought with me today, this is an owner's manual for a Polaris 1999 ATV. ATV, all-terrain vehicle, in case you don't know what that means. And this says owner's safety and maintenance manual. And it says on the face of it here, on the very before you open it, it says, read this manual carefully. You can see I've done that. You see how new it looks? I'm a man too, and this is, I don't really like these books. And it says, owner's manual, read owner's safe manual safely and carefully. It contains important safety information. Adult vehicle only. Prohibited for those under 18 years of age. There's a lot of people who haven't read this manual. It says for 18-year-olds and up. It seems to me like they'll sell it to anybody at the store. I see little kids riding them and everything else, you know, 18 and up. And so, you know, when I bought this, it was still in the bag, and I got to thinking about this sermon, so I dug it out and thought I would go over this a little bit. And there's information that you should know before you operate your Polaris ATV, before you ever get on it. Now, I was in a hurry to ride, you know. I was not in a hurry to read this. You don't get this till you buy it, right? And when you buy it, you don't really want to sit down for hours studying all of this. I don't, and I'm thankful for those that do. Y'all pray for me. I just wanted to ride. I didn't buy it to read this manual. But when you want to have a relationship with this bike that you're going to have, you really need to know how to operate it, right? And if you want to have a relationship with God, you really need to know something about the manual. You really need to know about this book. And so if you want to have a fellowship with Christ, you need to know what the book says. Because this journey, I want you to know, is not for those that want to play games. It's not for the faint of heart, as we say many times. It's serving God is not for the weak, although the weak can get strong. It says the weak should say, I am strong. It's not designed for you to stay weak. It's designed, he said, I'd rather you let the lame be healed. So you may start out weak, but the desire is for you to grow stronger and stronger as you go through this journey. Amen. And so I don't want to play religion and play games. I'm in this for real. All my marbles are in this. I mean, I've got everything from my time, my finances, my life. Everything is in the kingdom of God. It literally is. And so I've decided if I'm going to be in this thing with everything I got, I ought to know the book. I ought to read this book. Now, I'm not real fond of this book, but I'm very fond of this book. But we need to know that serving God has many hazards. And that's why they want you to read this book, is because there's many hazards to riding four-wheelers and three-wheelers. I've only had two broken bones in my life. Yes. Both toes. Both four-wheelers. Right? Operating it outside the capacity that it was designed to be operating. And so you need to know, though, this thing will tell you there are some prohibited things that you should not do. Can you do them? Oh, yeah. It says, don't pop wheelies. Right. This book will tell you there are some prohibited things you don't need to do, even though I can do all things. I can pop a wheelie. I can go fast. I can go through mud. I can go through sand. I can do all the things I want to do, but some things are not expedient, Paul said, for me to do. There's hazards along the way if you don't pay attention to those things that are prohibited, that it asks you not to do. And so this book right here helps us to understand our relationship with the ATV, the owner's manual. And now that you notice that this book is not been opened, it's not, the pages aren't folded, you obviously know that I didn't read this book. But if you look at this book, there are pages coming out. I obviously have read this book. This is the owner's manual to your salvation. This book tells you everything you need to know to operate in the spirit or the flesh, both. And if we stay in the guidelines of this book, you will more likely than not be accident free. You will have less difficulty if you read this book and obey it. The same is true with this book. We need to understand, as you open this book up, it starts with contents. Understanding the warnings. And it spends a few pages on just understanding the warnings. And then it says safety warnings, operational decals, daily pre-ride inspection. Daily pre-ride inspection. And those things, I wrote some of them down. Before you start the engine, you should, every time, every day, you should check the tire pressure. You should check the fuel. You should check the oil. Check for loose parts. Check the air filter. Check the engine coolant. Check to see if you have your helmet and goggles and wearing the proper clothes. Every day. That's a cross, my friend. That's a cross to carry. If you want to ride this thing safely, then check all of this before you go. But that crosses me. I don't want to do that. See, I'm going someplace with this little sermon this morning. That crosses me. I just want to ride. I rode it yesterday, and it was fine. Why do I need to do it today? But the Bible says to take up your cross, how often? Daily. There are some daily things. Paul said, I die once a week, right? Once a month. When I feel like it. No, he said, I die daily. There's some things that when I get up in the morning, I need to check. I need to make sure before I walk out the door that my attitude is right, that my disposition is right, that my relationship is right before I ever encounter anybody else so that I don't bring to you my troubles. See, I just wanted to ride, and I'm not really fond of reading this book. See, this is the owner's manual. It's not the borrower's manual. When people borrow your stuff, they never bring it back like they borrowed it. Can you say amen? Have y'all ever heard me say people borrowed my weed eater before? It don't come back with string. What's the deal with that? It had string on it when I gave it to you. So after a month or two of riding, you know, you get kind of used to it, and I don't need to check that, and I don't need to check that, and it's okay. It's been working fine. But one day you get on it, and it doesn't start. You see, this book is so, let me just show you this. Operation warning. Oh, what is what? Number four is switch. Number one is start button. Number two is, see, you need to know what's what. And it's the same thing here. We need to know what's what in this book. What does that scripture mean? What does this mean to me? How does this apply to me? And so, and then it goes through all this, and then it goes through the functions, and then it goes functions. Start the engine, okay. Then it goes inspection, riding. It tells you all how to ride it, up, down, don't do this, don't do that. There's circles with lines through it, all the things you shouldn't do. Battery inspection, maintenance. It's just maintenance. I hate maintenance. I just want to ride, that's all. But there's more maintenance. Believe me, in pastoring and all people, there's more maintenance than there is praying them through. It's a lot easier to get it than it is to keep it. There's a lot of maintenance. And so when you get through the last part of the maintenance, you go, okay, whoo, I finally know everything about this engine. And so you ride it for a while, and then after a while, you get on it, and you've been riding it for a month. You get on it, it goes, yeah. It doesn't start. Yeah. You know what that means, put out the battery charger. And you're wondering, what went wrong? And so you go then to a section of the book that's at the back, that you didn't read because you didn't have trouble. We don't read this until we have trouble. And then we get out the last page, troubleshooting. Troubleshooting. What went wrong? How is it I rode this a month and today it will not start? I need to identify the problem. And you are going to identify that. Troubleshooting is a process of elimination. One thing about troubleshooting is you don't try too many things at one time. Because if you try a bunch of things at one time, you get on it, it starts, you go, but what was it that made it work? What was it that worked? I don't know what it was. And you don't know. And then you'll have more problems if you do it one at a time. So when you look at this troubleshooting, the first thing, okay, it gets on engine. Now, I don't understand this. It says engine cranks but fails to start. I thought when you cranked it, it started. I guess not. See, that's how ignorant I am. But I'm assuming it's just turning over, but it's not, boom, it's not starting. Not, what do you think? Help me, guys. The number one thing on this list of troubleshooting, when it goes, yeah, and it won't start, what is the number one thing to check on this troubleshooting? Help me. No. Come on. Ladies, what is it? No. It's going yeah. When people's batteries are charged, they always yeah. Huh? Switch. Number one, the switch. Check the switch. You go over there, flick, boom, boom, boom. Oh, stupid me. Solved. And so it starts with the most simple thing first in troubleshooting. The next thing is what most of you said, fuel. No fuel. You open up the gas can, gas. You may have to prime it, but I need to put fuel in there. Then it goes fuel valve off. Now, I want you to notice, you're starting off with just the switch, then you're looking at fuel. These are common things, and then you used to get a little bit more in depth. Fuel valve off, clogged fuel valve. Water in fuel, drain system, spark plug, no spark to spark plug. And you go through this exercise of all these things, and it goes from more simple to more complex. And then when you have tried everything there is to do in the troubleshooting section and it still does not work, then what is the last thing it says to do? Sell it, huh? You almost got it. Go back to the manufacturer. Go back to the dealer. Go back to the one that sold it to you. Go back to the maker. Go back to the creator. Go back to the one who put it together in the first place. Because there's nobody knows it better than the one that created it. Oh, my God. When you don't know what to do and nothing seems to work and you've tried everything you know to do, I'm here to tell you, go back to your creator. Go back to the God that made you. Go back to the God that made you. He made you. He made you. He made you. And we're all different. But he made every one of us. See, what happens is we go back to friends. Well, I just can't get over such and such. You know, I just hate him for what he did. And I just don't know if I... That's not the one you need to talk to. Because they're going to say, I hate him too. I got the same problem you got. Yeah. What you got to go back to is the creator who made you and can help you like nobody else can. I'm telling you, when God gives you something, he puts a warranty behind it. Can you say amen? He guarantees you. You bring it back to me, I can fix you. You bring it to man, there's no guarantee he can fix you. But God can fix what he made. He said he's able to finish and give whatever he starts, he can finish. He can give you an expected end. Hallelujah. And all you want to do is ride. All you want to do is be a Christian. All you want to do is live for God. You have to understand there's a lot more to it than just living for God. Oh, I just want to be a Christian. There's a lot more to it. And so as long as a Christian's engine is running smooth and everything is going okay, it's just humming fine, you don't need the manual. You don't need the troubleshooting section. But when things go awry and you find yourself in trouble, you need to go back to the troubleshooting guide that will direct you back to the maker every time. If you can't figure it out, go to him in prayer and say, Lord, you made me the way I am. I don't even like the way I am. I wish I could get over this envy and hatred and malice and things that are in my heart. If you'll just help me to get over this. And the one that made you knows how to idle you too. He knows how to conform you. He knows how to make you into something new. He is the potter and we are the clay. And the potter, the Bible says, the clay was marred in his hands. So he made it another vessel as seemed fit unto him. Oh, hallelujah. There comes a day when we wonder what went wrong and what's going wrong in our lives. But the most important part of this book, my brothers and sisters, is the troubleshooting guide. Hallelujah. In my day of trouble, let me tell you, I cannot tell you how many times I got up at 1 and 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And I always like the book of Psalms when I'm in trouble. I'm telling you, David was in trouble. If you want to get some comfort from your troubles, go to Psalms. He knew how to write about trouble. When my enemies would come up against me, they stumbled and they failed. I'm like, yahoo, thank the Lord. They're not going to get me. And it encourages you. And when you're in trouble, you need encouragement. Can you say amen? You don't need somebody to dog you, somebody to tell you where you went wrong. You need somebody to encourage you. This book called the Bible, do you know what it really is? It is a way of escape. The whole book is a way of escape. From the beginning of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelations, it is a way of escape from the wrath of God. Somebody said, oh, I just want to be saved. Well, what are you saved for? You're saved from God's wrath. That's what you're saved from. Just like you're saved from drowning, you're saved from a fire, you're saved from catastrophe. That's what you're saved from, is the wrath of God. And this is a book of an escape route. If a Christian would just continue in this book and follow him as he asks us to do daily, we would find ourselves having less trouble than we normally have. He said, now let me go a little bit deeper into this. He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. What would be the first thing as a Christian you would do if you're having trouble? Well, let me help you. See if the switch is on. The first thing you need to do if you're having trouble living for God, check the switch. Well, what switch am I talking about? He said that to pick, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's the switch. See, I used to not deny myself, and I used to follow my own, whatever I wanted to do, and I've got to switch from my will to his will. Because I can't follow him with my will. I have to follow him in his will. So is the switch on? The first thing you need to do if you're struggling living for God, check the switch. And so this morning, the first rule I want to tell you about the switch is this. Know thyself. Know thyself. There's nobody knows you better than you other than God, the one that made you. You know you. You know what denial really is. You know if you're really denying yourself of the pleasures of this life. And I'm not telling you you can't fish, can't hunt, can't have a good time. That's not what I'm talking about. But those things that are an enemy to the soul, those pleasures that are an enemy to the soul, you know whether you're really denying yourself or not. And there's nobody knows you like you. There was a man in my business that he called me the other day, and he said, hey, I need you to send me out of my account $50,000. He said, we're going to be building a house, and we need $50,000 to get started. He said, we've applied for a loan, but it hadn't come in yet. I said, okay. So I sent him a check. I, you know, prepared it that morning, entered the data in. Before the evening was over, he calls me back. He said, you won't believe it. The loan went through. He said, so I won't need that check. I said, I've already entered it in the system. I can't stop it. So it's going to go out, and you're going to get it in tomorrow. And he said, but I don't need it. He said, what should I do with it? I said, well, you can deposit it in your account, and you can just write me another check. And he said, I know me. I know me. He said, if I deposit that money in my checking account, it won't be there long. I said, oh, okay. Well, I said, in that case, when you get that check, send it back to me, and I'll deposit back in your brokerage account. He said, okay. About 5 days later, he didn't call me, he just sent me a text. I'm sending you back $14,000. We decided to keep the rest. There's nobody knows you like you. And your worst enemy is who? You. That's why he said you must deny yourself. But I'm telling you, denial's not fun. Don't buy me this big bag of M&Ms. Buy me a little bag, I'm okay. One of them little ones, you know, I'm fine. But if you buy me that big bag of M&Ms, I'm going to eat a few of them. I'll put it in my desk. But those M&Ms are talking to me the whole time. And I will not stop till the last one's gone. And then I go, what did I do that for? So I don't want to, listen close, I don't want to have to keep fighting denial. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to have to keep fighting the flesh. Because we're all fleshly. I mean, we're all, you've got every wickedness inside of you, whether you know it or not, it's there. But I don't want to have to keep fighting that desire to satisfy my flesh. Because I want to tell you something, the flesh will never refuse the flesh. Your flesh is never going to say, you don't need that. Your flesh is going to say, let's get some more of that. Let's get some more. Oh, that's good stuff. Don't need to let it waste. Let's eat. Your flesh will never condemn you. Only your spirit will. It's the spirit and the flesh that is at enmity, not the flesh and the flesh. And neither is the spirit and the spirit at enmity. They're in harmony. But what's at odds is the flesh and the spirit. So in my spirit, I go, don't eat that. Don't eat that. But my flesh is saying, but it tastes good. It's going to spoil. We don't want to waste that, do we? Mark and Melanie came over last night. Ate a few fish with us, and they got ready to leave. I said, here's a pecan pie, here's some cheesecake, take it all. I don't want to see it. And so what we realized that maybe the best thing is out of sight. The best way to fight denial is distance. It's distance. It's too far to reach. Out of sight, out of mind. So if I put it so far out of my sight, I have done myself a service. You don't understand. I've done my flesh a favor. Because if I don't do that, it's going to crave it. It's going to want it. It's going to desire it. And I can't study. I can't play my music. I can't think because I'm thinking about what's in that drawer. But if it's not there, I can concentrate on more important things than the flesh. Are you understanding me? So if I get it so far away from me or I don't have it, then there's no need. You say, well, you just need to be delivered from it. There's some things you're not going to get delivered from. I'm sorry. It's the flesh. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. It's present with me. You're not going to say, God, deliver me from wanting to eat chocolate M&M. Lord, deliver. You'll pray all your life, and he'll never deliver you of that. It's a fleshly desire, and many fleshly desires are not going to go away. You will not be delivered from them, but you can deny them with distance. If you keep things away from you and out of your reach, you see, I care nothing about alcohol, you know, beer and all this kind of stuff. I don't care anything about it. And so you could set that right in front of me and I'm not going to, it's not going to happen. But if you were an alcoholic, you had better move that thing out because it's going to haunt you and you're going to go to bed at night and you're going to be thinking about that can of beer that's cold there. Whoa, if I could just. You better get it out of your sight. And that's the way you fight denial. You better know yourself. No wonder he said, lead me not. Deliver me from evil and lead me not into temptation. Keep it out of my sight so that I don't want it. See, deliverance is when you don't want it anymore. But denial is when you do. So he didn't say, take up your cross and get delivered. He said, take up your cross and deny yourself. So troubleshooting number one is you have to check yourself. You have to see, is the switch on? Are you making the transition from your will to his will? Not my will be done, but his will be done. Because you will never follow him peaceably if you do not make the switch. Turn the switch on. So you can follow somebody and hate every minute of it. That's not what he wants you to do. He wants you to follow him in peace and in love and enjoying this trip that we're on. Oh, hallelujah. So if you're still having trouble today, check the switch. Pick up the cross daily. See, pick it up and carry it. Pick up the cross daily and follow him. And what is the cross anyway? You know what the cross is? See, the cross was never mentioned in the Old Testament, not one time. But in the New Testament, Jesus was the first one to come out with talking about a cross. Even though they had used crosses to crucify people, he started talking about crosses. And he talked about hell like no one talked about hell. There's a lot of new doctrine that Christ ushered in when he began to walk on the face of the earth. But the cross was what he submitted to. Christ submitted to the cross. No man takes my life. I lay it down. And so you take up the cross and follow me is your submission to his will and not my will be done. Are you with me this morning? Are you catching this? It is the submission. You know what submission is? Submission. You ever heard of submarine? It means it is under the water, right? And submission is when your mission is under his mission. Carrying the cross is when your mission is denied so that his mission might be accomplished. And you and I this morning must submit our lives to him if we're ever going to follow him, because I'm telling you, there is trouble lies ahead. And if you're going to try to do it your way and not submit to his way, you will never make this journey. Even Christ had to go to the garden and pray before he went to the cross and said, not my will, but thy will be done. He had to submit to it. And unless we submit to it, we're going to be bucking and kicking all the way. And I'm fixing to close. There are so many troubleshooting things that we need to understand in living for God that would keep us from suffering as much as we do, and as much pain and anguish and loneliness and all the things that we can go through. When you look at just one scripture, 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people, which are called by my name, this is the owner's manual, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Isn't that what he said? Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. This is the same thing. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their heart or land. I will heal them. If you've done everything you know to do this morning and you're still finding living for God difficult, I submit to you, check the switch. Check the switch. Have you really made the switch from your will being done to God's will being done? And if the switch is off, you're going to yang all the way home. But if you'll turn the switch on and live for God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Sound like a Harley there. It works every time. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Well, how does he do that? I'll tell you how he does it. This thing must be in your heart. It must be in your heart. Not a mouth thing, not an I will thing. It's got to be in your heart. The Bible says that his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, God in us, the hope of glory. And if he is inside of you, even while I'm glad we have this book, there's a guide inside of me that says, don't do that. Don't do that again. Stay away from that. That's not good for you. This is what you need to do. That guide is in me. So that when I meet my days of trouble, is the switch on. Check the fuel. And there's really some just basic things that some people need to do to really enjoy their life in living for God. Is the switch on? Do you have the fuel? It's not these major mechanical things. People think, boy, if I could just get the right job, if I could just get the right spouse, if I could just have children, if I could just, all these things you think is why you're having trouble. When the fact is the switch on? Are you really following him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul and strength? And if you are, I promise you, this book does not lie. Hallelujah. He said, I will give you the desires of your heart. I have any witnesses here this morning. Hallelujah. If the switch is on, hallelujah, then you will find in living for God is the most enjoyable life that anybody can live on the face of the earth. It's not a struggle. It's not a strain. It's not difficult. It's easy when you do it the way the manual says. Amen. God bless you. Why don't you clap your hands one time, and we're going to take a quick break. Thank the Lord. God bless you. Take a quick break, and we'll be back for morning worship.